Okay, stop.
Okay. Fine. So I said I'm gonna focus. I mean, everyone in your own time. Look, there's lots of questions that I won't really be dealing with. I'm just really going to be dealing with the main thing, as I said, is because there's actually quite lengthy rashis on our sugya, yeah. And it's really, I have to tell you, I found it really, really kedai to go through those rashis, yeah, because he brings actually a lot of detail and he fits in the psukim very, very precisely, yeah. And that's what I'm trying to bring out on these tables. So you've got the table in front of you, yeah. Really what we'll do is we're going to end up looking at this last table, yeah, which is a kind of expanded version of Reb Eliyahu's table, in terms of, you know, the Hishka Kama, the Acha Yashka, and Hishka Basra, yeah. But in order to do this, I wanted to actually take a step back and look at the Pesukim, a kind of a bird's eye view of the Pesukim, which is the first table, yeah. And I think the drushes and why everyone's coming from where they're coming from become clearer when you see the kind of the order of the drushes. So if you look at the first table, it's basically taking the Parsha from, you know, Parshas in B'midbar Hay, yeah, Parsha of Sota, and it's kind of breaking it down, yeah. So let's kind of quickly go through it in terms of the Pesukim, so we kind of see a bird's eye view, the whole, in fact, basically the whole process. And of course, the assumption is generally, yeah, in terms of when it's described in the Chumash, yeah, general assumption would be whatever order it gives is probably the order that we're going to be following, right? Which is generally true, but we'll come to certain parts where it's not necessarily following. Have you got a copy? Where it's not necessarily going to follow that order for. Oh, roll up my sleeve, yeah. Okay. Fine. So it starts off, right? I'll very quickly take you through this. Number one, yeah? So this is kind of bringing the woman, this is after Kinyan and Stira, you'll bring the woman to the base of Mikdash. We saw that in the first parak, yeah? The husband's bringing her. Now she's brought to the gate of the Niknor, Lifnei Hashem, yeah, looking into directly into opposite the Heichal, yeah. And then it says, V'lakach HaKohen Maim Kadoshim. He starts to prepare, right, the waters. He gets a vessel and he puts in waters from the Kior, right. And then it says, V'heimid, we're going on to 4. I know I'm doing this very quick because the first part is not entirely relevant. Just give you a bit of kind of context. V'heimid HaKohen Isa Isha, or Paris Rosh HaIsha. He kind of tears off her clothes, well, her head covering, and tears a bit of her clothes, yeah? And now we're starting to get into closer in terms of the part we're focusing on. And it says, V'hishpia asur ha-kohen. And we learned this in the previous parak. He starts to make her swear. So he gives her all the different shvurs that she's going to have to take, yeah? If you're guilty, if you're not guilty, all the following things is going to happen to you. So shvur and shvur sa'ala, yeah? We learned that in the previous parak. Right, and then the next pasuk says, I mean, there's a few pasukim on that, but then it says, "V'kasav es ha'olas ha'ala sa'ela," right, and he should write these curses, yeah, ha'kohen b'sefer. So this is where he's writing kind of the different. And we know there's different amounts that you write according to what we saw in the previous parak, but generally speaking, you're writing the shvuas onto a cloth, yeah, u'macha el mei hamarim. So it's kasiva and mechika, yeah. You're going to write and you're going to dissolve those curses into the water. At this point, I just want to pause a second, yeah? Because I want to point out that, and it comes out from one of the Rashis, and I think this is according to everyone, really, yeah? That actually the dissolving of into the waters, that's really going to be the kind of the point of no return, yeah? You want to do that the very, very last point before she's going to drink, okay? And the reason is because we're trying to do our best to allow her as much time to kind of back out and say, oh, no, I'm guilty. Yeah? We really, really would very much want to avoid dissolving Hashem's name until we really mamash have to. So it's going to be literally before you're going to drink. Yeah, and you're going to see that really this is going to, in a sense, then this is going to create some problems. Yeah, because we're going to see straight afterwards. It's obviously it says, right, Behishgesa Isha, that she should drink. Yeah, and that's going to work fine in terms of that order so far. For those who hold, yeah, that you drink first and then you bring the minchah offering, right? That's fine. So if you go according to the Rabbanon, that order is brilliant. But the problem is, of course, that if you go according to Rib Shimon and according to Rib Akiva, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's that's not the order. You always have the minchah beforehand, yeah. So what I'm pointing out here is, as well as the fact that the first hishka is kind of a bit out of order, there's another little problem something to think about, which is that in fact the kasiva and the mechika is also out of order, because you'd have to have the whole process of bringing the mincha before you do the writing and the dissolving. Okay, so in a sense, there's two things which are out of order, and we're gonna and Rashi kind of picks up on this, and we're gonna discuss that. Yeah, okay, and then we carry on, right? So it says first hishkas isha, yeah, and that's going to be the machlokus in terms of is that the correct time? Yeah, according to the Rabbanan, yes. According to Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva, there's going to be another reason why it says hishka there. And then we have the whole bringing of the mincha offerings afterwards. So it says v'lakacha kohen miyata isha es minchasa knaus v'heini v'kamatz v'chuli v'chuli. You do the whole process, yeah, of bringing her mincha offering, yeah, and then the next one, number nine, it says right in the middle of the pasuk v'acha yashkes isha, and that's really where Reb Shimon will also see Reb Akiva is coming from, because after this whole thing you should drink. So again, that there the implication is quite strong that it's after everything we've said above, which is, you know, the right, you know, both the mincha offering and the dissolving everything. Yeah, after that, only at that stage, right at the end, you drink. And then you've got number 10, which is v'hishka basra. Yeah, the last drinking, where it just kind of repeats seemingly again, v'hishka esamai. Yeah, okay. So that's kind of a bird's eye view of the psukim. Yeah. So let's now work through in the table, and hopefully, kind of with that introduction, yeah, we'll see a little bit more detail how things pan out. So what we've got here on the table is, yeah, we've got kind of three sheeters, and there's something I just want to point out before we go into the detail here. So we've got Rabbi Shimon, yeah, and I've also put here Rabbi Akiva Tanya, right? And the next one along is also Rabbi Akiva, but it's Rabbi Akiva Tanya Rabbana, because what I'm trying to bring out here is, yeah, that we'll see at the end, there's actually two opinions from Rabbi Akiva. And I think, although it's not 100% Mefurish, I think it's kind of, when you put the pieces together, it's pretty clear for me from Rashi, yeah, that these two opinions of Rabbi Akiva, right, are actually going to be according to these two categories, which means that the first Rabbi Akiva that comes, which is obviously arguing on Rabbi Shimon, that's the middle one, Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Rabbanon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And that we know is a different opinion from Rabbi Shimon, yeah? But the way I understand it is, and look at it yourself.
The first opinion of Rabbi Akiva is not different to Rabbi Shimon.
The first opinion of Rabbi is, because we know that the first opinion of Rabbi
Akiva. The same as 3 and 1.
There's certain amounts in common, but we know he's arguing on Rabbi Shimon because it's brought in the Brisa, there's a machlokus there. We'll see how he's arguing. You're right that it's this middle category. He's also this Rabbi Akiva.
Because the way I presented it, even though this we have a conversation, that it's not arguing with Furush in the first Brisa, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. They were actually arguing, they're talking about different points. That's what you said. Yeah, you're right. But this bothered Israel, though, because it's very unusual, though, as well. Yeah. And we'll see that maybe in the Cheshbon after.
You see, in Rashi, yeah, there isn't a certain point in which they're arguing.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to bring out, yeah? And they have different drushes. I mean, you look, even if you look at the Brisa itself, that they actually, the way they're learning, and we'll see, they're learning. So they're in common in terms of they're different to the Rabbanan, in terms of the order of do you drink before and after in Mincha, you're right. That Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon are the same, even in the first Brisa.
Right.
But however, there is a difference between them. That's for sure. In the first Brisa, if you look at Rashi, that's for sure. There's a difference between them. Yeah. And Rashi brings that out. But what I'm trying to bring here is, yeah, that in fact the second opinion of Rabbi Akiva becomes exactly the same as Rabbi Shimon. So that this the Rabbi Akiva at the bottom, yeah, the Rabbi Akiva of the Tanya, yeah, will end up. So do you understand? It ends up, once again, at the end of the sugya, there's two opinions of Rabbi Akiva.
Yes.
Right? There's one opinion from the Brisa, the first Brisa, the first Tana Rabbanon. And then there's a second opinion in Rabbi Akiva that comes from the Tanya, where he's arguing with Rabbi Huda. Right? So what I'm trying to map out here is how these pan out. And what I'm trying to say is the middle one, yeah, which is the first Brisa, that there is a certain Kuda that's arguing on Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's got its own place, yeah, in this table. Whereas I think when you kind of do the math, so to speak, yeah, the second Tanya of Rabbi Akiva actually ends up being exactly Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, the first Rabbi Shimon.
Except in Rabbi Akiva never darshans on Yashke Afrika.
Okay, we'll speak that out a bit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the second That's why I'm saying it's not entirely Mefurish. But okay, let's speak that out a bit, yeah? So again, looking at this table, right, we've got Reb Shimon, that's the first column, yeah? And what I think is Rebbe Akiva to Tanya, the second Rebbe Akiva, yeah? Then we've got Rebbe Akiva to Tanya Rabbanon, the first Rebbe Akiva. And then on the last end, we've got the Rabbanon. So let's just start off speaking, and I hope this will become clear what I'm meaning, yeah? So let's start actually with Rebbe Akiva, because it's the first opinion brought here, right? Rebbe Akiva to Tanya Rabbanon, so that's the middle one here, yeah? So there's three psukim here that we're looking at. V'hishka kama, v'acha yashka, v'hishka basra. So v'hishka kama, right? So Rebbe Akiva says, right, that teaches you, yeah, that there's a point of no return, yeah? That you have to, so to speak, we're going to force her to drink, yeah? And at what point are we going to force her to drink? So the answer is after just the mechika, right? And Rashi spells out, yeah, and this is kind of the long Rashi on the side, yeah? This is even if the mechika is done shelo kedin. Now, what do I mean by that? As I said in the introduction, yeah, that the mechika should always be the last thing done. You should first of all, first bring the mincha and then do the mechika, yeah? And we know, according to these opinions, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon, yeah, obviously you're drinking right at the end, you're drinking after the mincha. So that should always be the order, yeah? So here, Rabbi Kiva, however, says, yeah, what happens, yeah, if you do the mechika before the mincha? So that's incorrect, you're not meant to have done that, yeah? Right? So Rashi spells out that according to this first Rabbi Kiva, yeah, once you bring do the mechika, even though it's done out of order, right, that is kind of, so to speak, a valid mechika, right, and there's no going back now, yeah, you're going to force her to drink, so you'll end up then going, bringing the mincha, and if she says no, you'll stuff the drink down her mouth, yeah, and that is learnt out from the first Behishka Kama. Now, the Rashi spells out, and this is very gishmak, that this is now answers one of the points that I made before, which is, why is it then the ksiva and the first Behishka Kama kind of out of order in a sense, yeah? So the answer is because it's teaching this specific point, yeah? Even though that out of order in two senses, because first of all, that it's you know, they're both being brought before the mincha offering, yeah? So but both of these make sense now, because really it's trying to link together the mechika and the drinking. It's trying to say, yeah, that once you do the mechika, even if it's before the mincha offering, you have to drink. So it's not necessarily telling you that's the ideal order. It's teaching the reason why the kind of psukim go out of the way to tell you that is to teach you this nekuda. And that comes out, it's a very gishmak point, and it comes out from Rashi, yeah? So after the mechika alone, as I said, written down here, afilu shelo kedin. If you then go down in this Rabbi Akiva, it then says v'acha yashka. So that is because of, that teaches you reshum nikah, right? Which means even it has to be after this, which means it has to be after it's properly dissolved, yeah? Which is, I mean, this is one of the points that everyone's kind of going to agree to, this drasha of acha yashka, yeah? It has to be after the mechika. And then the last, the hishka basra, yeah? That, for this Rebbe Akiva, is telling you the actual correct order, yeah? It's telling you that really the last thing you're meant to do is drink, yeah? So really, ideally, it should be that you have the mincha, you have the dissolve, and then you drink, yeah, and that's the last hashka basra. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, if we kind of go across a bit now and look at Rabbi Shimon, you'll see that what I mean in terms of Rabbi Shimon is, although kind of in the sense of the fact that where the mincha comes agrees, yeah, that drinking should come after the mincha, right? At least the chatchila. But you'll see that the psukim, he's kind of, there's slightly difference in terms of how he's darshaning the psukim. So it does come out a little bit different. So if you look at the first column here, Rabbi Shimon, and I think this is also Rabbi Akiva to Tanya, and I'll explain why later, yeah? So first, Behishka Kama, right? So we know from later on in Rabbi Shimon, that actually doesn't teach exactly the same as we said in Rabbi Akiva to Tanya Rabbanan. He teaches a din b'dieved, right? It teaches you, yeah? The fact that here we've got a drinking which comes before the mincha, that teaches you that if bidyeved, you do it in the wrong order, it's okay. If you drink before, now we don't know that in Rabbi Akiva, there's no limit to tell you that. The horror, that wouldn't be correct according to the Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Rabbanan. He darshans that same vahishka for something different, yeah? For the point of no return. Yeah, for the forcing point.
What is the point of return? I can't remember the same as bidyeved.
Well, yeah, you're right, for sure, but there's going to be a subtle point about how that Shem Hashem is raised. So bear with me a second, yeah, and you'll see, yeah, because we'll see the contrast here about exactly that point about, yeah, you're right, it's when the Shem Hashem is erased, but But how is that Shema Shema raised? So bear with me a sec, yeah? And you'll see what I mean. Sorry? Well, because there's that you will see is no, but you'll see it's very important. Just bear with me a sec, yeah? But what I'm pointing out is here, in the drushes, there's a difference, yeah? And you'll see that there's a knock-on difference as well, which is on the point you're saying. So bear with me a sec. So again, first, the Hishka Kama, Rabbi Shimon learns a Din B'Dieved, L'chora Rabbi Kiva wouldn't necessarily agree to that. Then you've got V'Acha Yashka. And on that, we see, this is even in the Brice that brings this out, he learns two things, Rabbi Shimon, yeah? First of all, he learns that tells you the order, right? The acha, after you do the mincha, right, that's really when you're meant to do things, yeah? Which, by the way, Rabbi Kiva seemed to learn from the third Behishka Basra, right? Again, you see there's slight differences in the drushes here. So, and also, he learns two things from that. He also learns this din of Rishim Unika, right? And then this last point, yeah? What about Behishka Basra for Rabbi Shimon, yeah? Now, here he learns the point of no return, yeah? The fact that once it's been dissolved, yeah, you have to drink. But this is the key point here, yeah? That dissolving has to be kedin, and that's in contrast to the Rabbi Kiva.
So when did you get the Rabbi Shimon holds the second the yashka, which we say is the chakila? He says that's the order that you do the mincha, then you would drink. Why did you say that? That's also the rishim
model. So that remember in the first Tanur Rabban, we said they're gimel things which are ma'akvin. Yeah. So he says from acha yashka we learn three things from ma'akev. Yeah. And we said one was the Shavua, which we said is Kedei Nospa, and we dropped off on. But then the other two were these points, yeah? There were the fact that you do it after the Mincha, and the fact that also you do it after the Mechika, which meant Rishim Unika. So if you look back at the Gimel Devarim, you'll see that it turns out really just we're left with two. That's in Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Yeah? You with me? So, but again, back to here. Although it ends up being only really two things, but you're right, there's a certain interesting thing that he learns two things from that.
Like the order and also Rishim.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're both connected to the order because after both Mechika, which is Rishim and Nika, proper Mechika, you fully dissolve, and after the Mincha, after both of those things, you drink. Okay? But anyway, get back to this. The Hishka Basra, this is the key point I'm trying to make out. There, at that point, Rabbi Shimon, you see, it brings later on when it brings the Machlokas. He learns, yeah, there's this din that you force her to drink. But if you look at Rashi, he says, right, specifically Rashi spells this out, this is different from the Rabbi Kiva, the Tana Rabban, because it's a Mechika, which is Kedin. What do I mean by that, yeah? As I've said, as I explained, the Mechika has to be, really, it's meant to be after you bring the Mincha. It's meant to be the very, very last thing. So that's the Mechika that Rabbi Shimon is talking about, the point of no return. But the Machlokas comes, what happens if you do the Mechika in the wrong order? Which means that instead of kind of waiting right to the end, yeah, are you waiting to after you've brought the Korban? If before you bring the Korban, you do the Mechika, yeah, that's what's called a Mechika Shalokadin. At that point, yeah, is it a point of no return? So according to this version of Rabbi Shimon, it's not true. That's, in a sense, yeah, that's kind of not a good Mechika, yeah? She could return after that point. The only point Rashi spells out that there's a point of no return is if you did that mechika in the right order, and that's a point of machlokas, yeah, between Rabbi Shimon, yeah, and the Rabbi Kiva, the Tana Rabban. That comes out from Rashi. Now, before we go on, I just want to point out that in effect, when we said there's two Tanaim of Rabbi Akiva, yeah, so we said at the end we said one of them holds mechika ma'akva, and one of them holds that kometz is ma'akev. Now, what does that mean? How did you understand that? Mechika is ma'akev and kometz is ma'akev. So now, I really originally understood it slightly wrong, I'll just be honest, yeah? Yeah? Which is, I understood kometz ma'akev.
Which I also did.
I think a lot of people understood. Yeah, I mean, I understand why. But a lot of people understood that mechika is ma'akev means what we kind of said like here, that as soon as you dissolve it, there's no return. Yeah, that's kind of simple, yeah? And then kometz ma'akev would be, if you bring the mincha before you've dissolved anything, it's also a point of no return. That is, I just want to make clear, that is not correct, yeah? I don't think any of the Rishonim learn it that way, yeah? If you just want to turn to the sheet about, I'll show you, there's one Rishon who spells out what really kometz ma'akev means, and that's Tosfos HaRosh. But everyone understands that all Rishonim, I haven't seen anyone who says that any Rishon argues on this. So if you look at number six, yeah, this is, the first point is it's bringing out from a piece of the Gemara here. The Gemara says, yeah, this is the first line on number six, yeah? I'm sorry, can you, yeah. So it says, right, Mishakara v'Kometz, yeah, De bedin avid kohanim de machki, right? The Gemara, this is a quote from the Gemara, yeah? This is within the sheet of Kometz Markov, which means it spells out that if when you bring the Kometz, which means, right, the bedin avid kohanim de machki, which means that now when you dissolve it, it's going to be bedin, it's going to be in the correct order. In that situation, lo matzi hadraba. She can no longer go back. That is what it means, Kometz Markov. Tosef Drosh says, look at this Tosef Drosh, he says, Nimsa Mavua Begamora, and he's quoting from that line, yeah? Da'af Mishakarav Kometz, right? Even when you bring the Kometz, yeah? Ein Ma'arimoso. That's not the point, say, of no return. Ella im Nimchacha Magilla. Unless you, it's really talking about you, Kometz Markov means you bring the Kometz and then you dissolve, yeah? But if, let's say, you were to bring the Kometz, which is the right thing to do, you first bring the Mincha, but you don't then dissolve. You can't force at that stage. At that stage, you can still back out. Yeah? Right, you need both. So the point of which is no return is after the Kometzah, but only the Kometzah plus the Mechika. Which means if you compare it now, yeah, what does it mean that there's two pshitas, yeah? What does it mean the mechika is ma'akev on the one hand, and the other one hand is kmitza ma'akev? Kmitza ma'akev means you bought the korban, then you've done the kmitza, now it's point of no return. That's kmitza ma'akev. Sorry? No, you have. Kmitza is the mincha. Sorry, kmitza is just... It means the whole mincha. It's referring in a general term to the whole process of bringing home mincha. Yeah, it means... Right, and the kmitza and the haftarah, it's just it's a shorthand for saying you've done everything.
Isn't the water that shema has been erased,
yeah,
but you're missing one element.
Right, so that's the nachum.
If it's
lokadin, that's what the Tosafot Rosh is saying. If it's lokadin, that means but that's what they're saying.
You're missing elements.
Right. So Yeah. If you do it again, the kedin means you do the whole offering of the korban, then you do the mechika. Right, that's kedin. If you don't do it in that order, if you haven't done the whole process of bringing hamincha, which is we're calling kmitza, yeah, that's just part of it, but that's referring to the whole process. If you don't do that and you just dissolve it, you do it shelo kedin, right? Then you can't force her, right? That's kmitza ma'akev. It has to be in the right order. Kmitza, then mechika. That's what Tosafot Rosh is spelling out. And the contrast, yeah, is mechika ma'akev, which means, right, that no, even if you were to dissolve it, you did it in the wrong order, you shouldn't have done that, yeah? But still, now we've dissolved it, there's no going back. And that's the point of machlokus, of the two things. So what I'm trying to bring out from here is, yeah, that effectively those two opinions, that's really one and two, yeah? Which means that this second opinion of Rabbi Kiva, yeah, that holds kmitza is ma'akev, which means you have to do it kedin, that when you pan that out in Rashi's, that turns out to be exactly the same as Rib Shimon, right? So that's why you've got here Rib Shimon and Rib Akiva de Tanya, and then and it's Talui very much on where the drushes come from. And then you've got Rib Akiva de Tanya, and then the last one is the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon, just to say very quickly, they hold for Hishka Kama, right? That tells you the correct order, right? The first you do Hishka, mm-hmm. And then for Acha Yashka, afterwards they say, okay, well, even though it's the wrong order, but that's telling you, right, that you have to dissolve things, yeah? And then the last one, the Hishka Basra, they say that's the point of no return, right? But that's after only the Mechika, right? But that's because, of course, they don't need to worry about the Korban. For them, the Korban anyway comes after the drinking. So...
Okay.